This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to this Labor Day edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, brought to you from the patio studios here at Lineup Media Group, and of course, brought to you, as always, by our good friends at InnovatedCompanies.com. My man, Randy Green, always big supporter of the show. Couldn't do it without him, and again, he's 35 years experience, folks, second-generation craftsman, more importantly, a man of his word. If you need heating or cooling, electric work done, plumbing, or, of course, construction, InnovatedCompanies.com is the name you need to know and trust. My man, Randy Green, Innovative Companies. Well, guys, I got to tell you, it's a holiday edition. It's early. We got down faces in here. Is it because we finally lost a series? I mean, first series in how long? I mean, don't tell me you guys are going to be like social media and everybody wants to. Now, listen, I've said 100 times over, Bud Norris reminds me of Ryan Franklin, okay? But we're going to lose our minds because we didn't sweep a team. I mean, I love the fact how people think you're just supposed to sweep a baseball team. Yeah. That is my all-time favorite. Number two, all Jose Martinez does is rake. And people want to, that is the worst at-bat I've ever seen. Well, how can you take an at-bat like that? Well, get your ass in there and stand there. Okay, listen, guys, they're not robots, okay? And I tell you, they're going to fail, and they're going to look bad from time to time. I don't understand this. Why do I have to be the positive one? This is crazy.
Well, first and foremost.
First and foremost. And an apology from you would be great. You dogged on my fantasy team all last week, and I come out on top.
First and foremost.
Okay.
I wasn't going to
I got asked in. About it at the Patio's event for Pete's sake.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
I did. Did I not, guys?
Yep.
Here's the deal. I wasn't going to come in here today and do the show because it's Labor Day and I should have the day off, except I remembered this is a volunteer gig and I don't get paid, so no, I guess right. I'm in
Well, that's
here.
What Labor Day is, okay?
I come in
for the work.
Secondly, I'm in mourning.
You should be in mourning.
My team absolutely shit the bed all week long. I mean, it started off from day one, my fantasy baseball.
I don't want to go to my fantasy team.
It was absolutely horse crap.
You had a whole other set of, on the m4byyachty.com hot seat instead of the studio line, because he's with us as he's been in town all weekend calling the Spanish broadcast. Benji Molina, what's up, pal?
What's going on, guys?
And, of course, our friend and everyone's best buddy in studio, because there's no school today, otherwise he wouldn't be here, intern Josh. I remember when we called him Intern Josh. That lasted about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Josh
Potter. I don't care. Either way, whatever you want to say. Oh, I'm just glad to. I got the first week of school over with.
Oh, yeah.
It's good luck with that. In the books.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah, you're bettering yourself.
Hey, yeah. I'm taking some interesting classes. Business analytics. Oh, yeah. That one's going to be fun online.
I think if you lose two out of three to like an Arizona or, you know, somebody else, Colorado, maybe you're a little okay. But I think everybody expected, you know, I know Cincinnati's no cream puff anymore.
Cincinnati always plays us good.
Yes.
That's what people need to understand. When we came to this series, Thibault, I didn't know we were going to lose. I didn't say that. But, I mean, they play us good.
They
played us
tough last time we played them.
Well, they hit. And you know what? It's not about losing.
Right.
It's the way that you lose the game.
Sure.
It's what hurts. Because losing, of course, like you just said, you're going to lose some series. You're going to lose some games. You're going to have a bad stretch and things like that. But the way you lose, when you have that base loaded at that time, which the whole game – gets forgotten, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because Wisdom at the beginning with the men on third, he hit it pop up to first with less than two outs. So he didn't bring him in. But you forget all that, and we go straight to that base loaded. They gave us the game. They gave absolutely gave us the game. And then you have Martinez hitting, and then he takes the first pitch strike with the bases loaded to win the game. You know? It's not the second inning. It's not the first inning. It's to win it. To go home, and you're going to take that first pitch right there because it wasn't away in the corner. It was right down the middle, and you're like, what is he in his head?
So your mentality is you're looking once you're looking for your pitch right away. You're not taking anything. You're ready to jump, right?
You want three shots.
Okay.
You don't want two.
I like it.
He took one shot away from himself, which he took a pitch, right? He didn't even offer it. And then he has two shots. You may hit a foul ball, and then you go down to one. So my mentality was, I got three shots at these, not two, not one.
I mean, is that – I was going to ask you about this, so –
But Ozuna came back after, and he still hit a ground ball to the infield.
Yeah.
And we still have one out. I mean, so those two – were the key of the game yesterday. I think, obviously, we take the whole game.
Yeah, you have to talk about the whole game. You can't lose your mind on one guy because he didn't.
No, especially
a guy that's been good all year long. Yep. Well, how are you going to lose your mind?
I'm off the bandwagon. I'm done.
You and
Well, that was Nate. now he wants back on.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if the doors will open, but. I'm with you. You can't dug the guy. Obviously, he didn't look good all day, and then he has the chance to redeem and do something for, you know, to win it and stuff. But you cannot go on top of that guy. That guy has been amazing all year. Nobody knows what happened behind the scenes. He didn't seem like himself yesterday on the field. And when I saw him in the clubhouse, obviously he didn't seem like himself. Who knows? He might have been going through something. But nobody knows that. And those things happen, man. You know how many times I had the men on third and I didn't even get him in the ninth inning? I mean... It's crazy how many times you go through those things. It's just that everybody wanted to win the series, and, you know,
this is an interesting lineup today, too, by the way.
Well, and I even, last night on Twitter, I was getting into it because some guy was talking, you know, oh, it's Norris's fault, it's Norris's fault. I was like, you know, he didn't do his job. Well, he didn't do his job. He came in the top of the 10th and didn't do his job. I'm like, dude, whose job is it to hit runs in? You know, I said, we can play the blame game all day long. We can go back inning by inning by inning and say who didn't do their job. That's literally what the game of baseball is.
But if they execute
or not, and if they succeed or fail.
100%.
That's the whole, literally 100%. Every single game. So why sit there and just blame it on one guy when back in the second inning, we could have put up a couple of runs because of whoever.
Yes.
It's literally as easy as that. I mean,
I'm with you 100%.
Explaining it that way. You know what I mean? Like, it just is.
I just think that, no. Did you see the whole series? These guys, the Reds, they can rake.
Yep.
From top to bottom. The only one that's not doing very good is the catcher. And he can hit. It's 250. I mean, these guys, you missed the ball right down the middle because I obviously had a chance to do that because we have the replay. But if you see all the hits, it's right down the middle. What are we supposed to do as a hitter? Throw a ball to you in the middle, and you're supposed to rake it. I mean, these guys don't miss. That's just bottom line. And then you start throwing in the corner, and you miss, and da-da-da, and all of a sudden the middle part comes big. Holy crap, not on those guys, man. They can hit.
When Suarez came up that one, when he hit that bomb, I thought to myself, oh, no. I just had that feeling. Their hitting is, I feel like, underrated. Which, because their pitching being their starters being so bad, you know, I mean, it,
well, not only I that, think, Josh, but they're playing loosey goosey out there.
Yeah,
they don't
got nothing.
They want to spoil it for
us. That's it.
And that's they come out. I mean,
Look at Riggleman. Look at Riggleman, the way he was managed. That ninth inning came in, and we had all those bases loaded. He didn't give up. Nope. He could have easily say, you know what, play in, you know, three outfields, play in. That's simple. And then all of a sudden he said, no, okay, we need a fifth infielder, da-da-da, let's go. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So they're trying, man. Any manager out there, I don't care who it is, even if he's the last place of the last places, he's going to still try to win.
Especially
he will.
Jim Riggleman. I mean, he's as old school as it gets. I mean,
you know how many points he got on that from the freaking owner?
Yep.
On that game only, you know, like.
Okay, so we lost the series. Okay, is it the end of the world? No. Now, would it have been nice to keep winning series? Of course, that's the goal, right? And that's what they've been doing. That's what's got them into this position.
It was going to happen at some point.
Sure.
There you go.
And again, I understand fans like being all fired up because, you know, it'd be nice to win every series, the rest of the September run and make a real charge into the playoffs. You know, we talked a lot last week about can we overtake the Cubs? How's it look? What can we do? And the reality of it is Mo's algorithm had brought up, as well as you had played, I think it was over the, was it 10 or 14 days? Look how well you played and you hadn't picked up one game on the Cubs.
Yeah.
Not one game.
In the last 2 days, we've lost two games.
Right. So the thing becomes.
Cubs are playing well.
Yeah, they're playing well. Listen, I got it. And I don't mean this to be ignorant, but I'm becoming quite the prognosticator.
And they got better.
Yes.
Nostradamus so, over there.
I'm becoming quite the prognosticator. First thing I did was argued with people on Facebook one day about the difference between – I had people on Facebook telling me that Matt Adams was better than Daniel Murphy. And you know what they told me? And this is what irritates me to no end. You know what they told me? Look at the numbers. I said, okay, I'll look at them. They said, just look at his numbers. I go, okay. I said, I'll tell you what we'll do since it's a game and not a spreadsheet, I'm going to look at what he's done the last 2 months. And you do know that Daniel Murphy was out all year with knee surgery, so let's throw away his first 2 weeks. Then why don't you look at the numbers? They didn't want to talk about that. They didn't want to talk about reality. See, that's what kills me about sometimes with this stuff. This guy's a raker, okay? He's a machine.
Yes.
He's a baller.
He's a machine.
He's a baller. That guy can play.
He took 94 up and in out of the strike zone and hit it for 450 feet. He's a machine.
I love Adam.
You can't compare Adam to what Murphy has been or has done. You can compare him this year because he's hurt.
I would give anything in the world to go back. Now, listen, this isn't about being right because the truth of the matter is, it could go the same way. Like I just said, they're not spreadsheets. These are men. They're not machines. Like the whole Jose Martinez at bat yesterday. Listen, I can't tell you. I mean, we can dissect the fact that he took a gut fastball right down the middle first pitch and put himself there. We can talk about it all day long. He may not even know why he took it. But the reality of it is, Benji, you played at that level. Don't we all know enough to know that he didn't think he was getting one or he'd have swung at it? Something told him he was getting a different kind of pitch, and he just, you know, basically.
That's all it takes.
That's all it takes. And you have 0.2 seconds?
No, that's all it takes. You're probably like, okay, he's going to get me over. Slider
or off speed. He's been throwing this to everybody. He surely is not going to throw me a fastball. I mean, here's the thing.
And a fastball in the middle.
Yeah, and here's what you said. Here's the difference. Here's the thing that, and again, every blue moon we piss somebody off because they say, oh, once again, you're telling us we don't know anything because we didn't play. But the reality of it is that is the reality, okay? The difference is this, okay? Not everybody throws a fastball in that situation, okay? And in fact, a lot of times they do not.
Probably 8 out of 10 is like a slider or something.
Shouldn't
he be looking for a fastball?
No, right? No,
he should. Isn't that the argument?
Yeah, he should.
Oh, if 8 out of 10 is going to be something off speed, then you should be looking fastball because he's going to try to trick you.
But when you got nothing to lose, and you said it.
Nothing to lose.
You know?
Went right at him because he got himself in that trouble.
Yes. You know?
He's like, dang it, a double.
And how many times have you been watching and said to yourself, as just a fan, right? Like, you know, even if you throw a fastball right down the middle, it's still 90-something miles an hour. He's still rotating and moving his body to a baseball. He is still swinging a round object, trying to hit a round ball. Just throw a strike. And isn't it amazing sometimes how good these guys are? I say it all the time. Everybody's talking about all this velocity, right? Everybody says it all the time. We got all these guys throwing 100 miles an hour. We got our own guy throwing 102 with sink and struggles to strike people out. Isn't that the most amazing thing?
You know, that guys
are throwing as harder and harder and harder, and these guys are putting wood on it. That's what amazes me. People talk about the Little League World Series all the time, how hard these kids throw. And I tell them all the time, yeah, that's because they're basically young men throwing from 46 feet. That's not what's impressive to me. What's impressive to me.
And they have the umpire calling a big strike zone, too.
So what's impressive to me about that is that there's a bunch of older kids, young men, taking a 2.25-inch baseball bat and hitting it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, as a grown adult, get your ass in there from 46 feet with some kid throwing 80. It's not easy to do. I don't care who you are or what you do. So, again, that's what amazes me the most about the whole thing. The whole Jose Martinez thing is, again, I only Jose Martinez. But my guess would be, and I'm totally guessing here, if you asked him, he'd just shake his head and say, everything I've seen, everything they told me, was that he'd never throw me a fastball in that situation. I was looking slider. He jumped me with a fastball. And again, now you're at the game, right? If you ask the guy on the mound, he may have said,
but Jim, don't you see the ball and hit the ball?
Oh, well, yeah, it's so easy to do.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Didn't they tell you that when you were 6 years old?
Oh, yeah.
See it and hit it.
That's not how it works, though. See, that's the problem. And here's the other problem. We have some media guys that tell people that's how it works, that don't understand that's not how it works. You have to have some anticipation. You take some chances. Jim Edmonds was the best guess hitter I've ever seen. He was. We talked about it all the time.
All the time.
Jim Edmonds had decided to swing 30% of the time sometimes before the pitch was ever thrown. And he lived with the result.
And
he's not the only one.
But 99% of the guys in the Hall of Fame will tell you that they guess. I mean, you have to go with the pitcher. I mean, seriously, you watch the video.
You know what his strengths are.
Yeah.
So, and you know what his weaknesses are.
I'm going to tell you a story. I don't want to say the name because he's a good
friend. Go ahead.
Can we guess it?
No. It's in the Giants.
Two syllables. First word.
Hunter Pence.
Hunter Pence. No. He killed us one year.
Brett Butler.
With the home run.
But bigger than a bread box? No, go ahead.
No, he killed us with the home run that year to go to the World Series. But that guy is a good friend of mine.
Hunter?
And no. The guy who hit the home run.
Oh, the guy.
You don't remember that home run that took us to the World Series?
That took the Giants?
Yeah.
Okay,
don't say it.
Everybody can figure it out now.
All right. So, but I didn't say it. But listen, that guy, I've been talking to him for 2 years about men on third, less than two outs, you know, right. like the situation. And I've been talking for like 2 years, the spring training, the whole season, da-da-da-da-da, because he took a curveball or a changeup for a strike first pitch every single time. Well, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to keep throwing it, get ahead.
Right.
So I told him, I said, hey, why do you take that first pitch, which all you have to do is let it travel a little and hit a fly ball, you get an RBI. That's how easy. And sometimes they play the infield back. What are you doing? You know, like, what are you doing? Oh, no, I go fastball. You know, I'm looking fastball. If it's not a fastball, I shut down. I'm like, you shut down? I'm looking fastball. If I see a hanging curveball, I'm going to put wood on it. I'm going to get a ground ball. Sure, I get my RBI, buddy. And I'm going to get a fly ball. I'm going to get my RBI. So I keep talking. He never did anything. Every time pinch hitter or something, and take a first pitch. So what do? You give the pitcher the edge because now he can do whatever the heck he wanted with you. You might end up hitting a foul ball, two strikes, and then you're out.
No, absolutely. And
then you don't get the guy in.
The worst, Jimbo, Moto, Coach Pyle will tell you the story over and over and over. State championship game.
Eight. Wait, before you continue, you tell the Reds that. Did you see anybody taking a first pitch? Any first pitch fastball, did you see anybody? in their lineup take a first pitch fastball?
I'd have to go back and look at the film, but I don't think so.
Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
But 2-0, this is high school. 2-0 man on third. I'm up. What am I looking for?
Well, first fastball, I hope.
Looking for a fastball. What'd I do, Jim? I got the front foot down. I got those hands moving. And this kid throws me a curveball. And it's hanging. And I missed. Grump. One hopper right back to him. And he got the guy. We were on contact. Got the guy hung up on third. To this day, my high school coach rips me on it constantly. He's like, you're swinging a 2-0 fastball or 2-0 curveball. I go, I'm guessing fastball right there. Who in high school throws a 2-0 curveball?
These days, probably.
These days they do, right? This before is way back then. Nothing. I was set, ready to go. But like you said, you got to be looking for something. I'm guessing I guessed wrong.
No, but listen, you were ready for it, though. You were ready. You swung at a curveball.
Yeah.
That means you saw it like this big.
Yes.
2-0, you know it's a fastball count. You go for it, and all of a sudden you see that thing going like this. You're like, oh, I get it. I bet you anything you did that because I've done it. Yeah. It's
but the problem was my hands were already going and my hips were already gone.
Well, and the result wasn't the right one.
No.
Obviously, that's not going to help. But I tell you how many times I hit changeups, curveballs, sliders, forget-me-overs for a base hit or a fly ball sack fly or get the guy over the – from second to third, why do I have to take a pitch if I see that hanging curveball and all I need is to put the wood on the ball and get the guy over from second to third? Why do I need to take a pitch because I'm looking fastball? That's what I was trying to tell that guy. It's like you would have had probably 20 more RBIs in your numbers. Who knows what would you, you know, what will become of you? So it's who you are.
Right. Now, out of anybody, see, now I see Yachty doing that all the time. Like, he's a situational hitter all the time. I don't see that a lot in this game anymore, and we talk about it constantly. But you can really see, I mean, he really makes an adjustment when he's up there in the right situation to move him over, whatever it is, hit a fly ball over to right, hit a ground ball over to second.
There's no young guys trying to get the guy over.
Exactly.
There's no young guys out there, and there's not one young guy that you can see literally taking an inside pitch and trying to get the guy over. Not one. And I've been doing this for, 3 years now since I've been up there? Oh, man. I haven't seen one young guy, one stud, try to get the guy over from – and you don't have to sacrifice your at-bat. You still can have the mentality of getting a base hit up the middle or a base hit the other way. That's all. It's not giving away your at-bat. It's just that try to get a base hit to the right side. Or try to get a base hit to the middle. That way, if you don't get it, you get the guy over. But you don't see that, like you said, you don't see that these days, man.
You know, by the way, I did look up something. And again, I'm getting inside Jose Martinez's head, which I don't need to be getting in there. The guy's way too good a hitter.
And that wasn't the only at-bat, though.
Yeah, I was going to say. But
he had like five strikeouts in the last five, six at bat, so he was struggling already.
My conversation really is more about the fact that, I mean, I'm just you know what, I say that I'm shocked that we're roasting a guy on Twitter that's been so damn good the whole season over one at bat. Again, I'm just talking about the reality of how it really works. And the truth of the matter is, the at bat before Jose Martinez, he threw a first pitch slider to Peña. So maybe Jose's in the box going.
He threw a first pitch slider to Peña.
Yeah. And again, I also understand Peña was bunting, so maybe that's why he threw the slider first.
He was just reading.
Yeah. So either way, my point is, you know what? Here, I'm going to make a different point. It doesn't even matter. Jose Martinez is the professional hitter, okay?
Best hitter.
There's a reason why these guys fail 70% of the time. It's really, really hard. Okay, so I'm not going to blast Jose Martinez because he didn't come through one time.
And even Osuna, this is his first game back from the DL. And not only that, he hit like three rockets to people when they were out, at least two that I saw. And then all of a sudden he got this at bat. I mean, come on, man. You can't do that. And you can't do that. You know, you can't put that mindset onto those guys. I mean, they've been doing great.
And I also know it's frustration. I get that too. But, I mean, in the end, we'll see. So, listen, here's the deal. Let's move on.
Okay, we're
a true fan doesn't do that. I'm just going to throw that out there. Okay. A true fan doesn't do that.
So my comment about being I'm done with them, I'm off the bandwagon.
Yeah, you're out. You're forgiven because that's your first fault. You know how you say that?
Your first failure.
First digression.
Yeah.
So
first degree.
Well, here's the deal. We move on. We move forward. They got their hands full today. There's no doubt about it. We haven't. Interesting lineup that's just come out that by the time this show is released, the game will probably be over, but everybody will see it for themselves. I'm not quite sure what's going on. But, I mean, I understand we have some injuries, but I'm a little confused. But that's fine. I'm going to trust the guy that's done a really, really good job since he took over. As I always say, he knows more than we do. But I'm going to ask you guys a question. We're moving forward. So I want you guys to think about this while we take the real quick break here. So think about this. We got, you know, it's a stretch run here. We are, whether people want to admit it or not, we got a whole bunch of kids who are playing more than they've ever played. There's the physical toll. There's the mental toll, right? They've already started making adjustments. The question I have is this. And I find this one to be interesting. I want you guys to think about it. Adam Wainwright, for a guy that really hasn't done much for the better part of 2 years, is still a polarizing figure anytime his name comes up in association with this. There seems to be a really hardline faction out there in the social media world, especially about what his role should be here going forward. Now, what I think is interesting is he just went down to the minor leagues and basically, I don't know how many, what do you
have? 17 innings, 23 strikeouts, no earned runs, and gave up like 12 hits, 13
okay.
hits.
So my point is this. He appears to be healthy. He would have to be throwing it well because, again, some of the best.
90 to touching 92 is what I heard.
Okay, so he's what he has been, basically.
Better than what he's been healthy.
But my point is this, and this is what always kills me. This is for the I like the numbers when they fit my narrative clan, okay? Anytime a minor league guy comes up and has good numbers, we say, why isn't he playing? Why isn't he doing this? He's obviously going to do what he did in the minors, right? So Adam Wainwright, who's your veteran, who's done so much for you, goes down and has these great numbers, and now you don't want him to pitch.
It's only AAA, Jim.
Well, I know, but it was only AAA for all these other guys, too. It was only AAA for Harrison Bader. It was only AAA for Tyler O'Neill. It was only AAA for Dakota Hudson and Austin Gomber.
AAA is also in the playoffs, correct?
I don't care about all that.
No, but I'm just saying they're playing the better teams in AAA. I mean,
yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, but he wasn't just at AAA. He was at other levels.
No, I know.
It's just my point, though. It's just my point of, okay, there are people that are watching that are seeing what they see based on how the thing is going. They don't even really care about the results. All kinds of guys that are studs at the major league level go down on rehab assignments, give up runs, strike out. Look, Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant
working
does
on
his
pitches.
Rehab. It's awful, and he comes up and gets two hits in a big league game. I mean, so.
Some guys can flip the switch, Jim.
I know they can. But anyway, I want you guys to think
and
about
this.
And
he's finally healthy. I heard. He's been having some live fastball, you know, like live, which he didn't have for a while. And the way we have a couple starters in our thing here, we could use him.
Well, think about it for a second here and just ask yourself, and I'll ask all you guys this when we come back, is there any magic left in Waino to help this team make a magical run? Want to remind you guys, check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show there. It's free. Do your shopping at Amazon. Simply click the Amazon banner. You're done with us. We get a very small referral. Helps us with Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen, our producers. Again, it doesn't cost you anything extra. You're done with us once you click it, and we'd like to say thank you to them, and it's just a small referral that kind of goes that way. Social media, we appreciate all the connections we've made, especially lately. Things have been really, really rolling. I got to tell you, no doubt about it, in my mind, I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, how are we doing all this growing? Simply put, guys, I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, you know, social media is where we've really made the gains. At Birds on a Bat shows where you'll find us on Twitter. If you follow us, we're going to follow you back. Find us on Facebook. That's been the big, big, big successful push for us lately. Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends. We'd love to have them all part of the conversation. I'd also like to say thank you to so many Facebook groups that have helped make our show really grow.
Chris Lawless, Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7. We did the show at Patio's, and all the Cardinals 24/7 crew came out. We had a great time with those guys. You know, it's been an interesting run here for sure. Those guys, without question, have a way of loving the game. All that whole group, okay. But let me tell you something. It was an amazing thing. I enjoyed it greatly. I don't know. Benji, I know for you, this thing was really a great experience for you at Patio's. I know.
It was great. And it was a lot more people, obviously, because it was closer to the game. Like I told you before, I think it's going to be the best way to do it. And you said it, you know, you said it yourself. You said 4:30 is probably the best, you know, close to 5. This is great, man. And the next series is the Dodgers, the ones that I'm gonna be here, and we're gonna do Patio's, man. So you know, there's a lot of fans out there that wants to get in here, you know, and hang out with us. And this is gonna grow, man. This is growing. Obviously, we got to take our time to make it happen, but it's gonna grow. It's gonna be fine, man.
You know, Steve.
It was fun too.
Yeah, Steve obviously didn't join us.
Had to work, Jim.
Had to do what?
Had to work. Had to close some loans, babe. It was the end of the month, man. That's the worst. Last day of the month is on a Friday. I'm tied up. Got to do stuff.
Hey, so what about, so Gomber isn't starting against, Washington?
Gomber?
Is he playing on Friday, or is what's going on with this rotation?
Well, I don't know. I was just looking at that as I was trying to figure this out. So, yeah, we're going to cover that because this whole Waino thing is got me perplexed now because Gomber was in the rotation for Detroit. Okay, we're looking at Flaherty obviously is going to start probably that weekend sometime with a longer rest. But where does Waino go in? So, anyway, I was trying to, you know, these guys that came to the thing, they had the question about Crash had the question about Waino that we're going to talk on. And those were the guys that I really wanted to thank for coming, okay? Because the truth is, they are making our show grow. And it means a lot to us. Ron, I was on Cardinals 24/7 last week. I know, Steve-O, you were as well. I know they'd love to have both of you guys on. They do a great job. But it's those Facebook groups, guys, that are doing it. And they're amazing. RallySquirrel.com, amazing stuff. Fans of Yadier Molina has been amazing. St. Louis Cardinals crew. St. Louis Cardinals Fans Unite. Mick Light at Arch City Media has been doing an amazing job for us and promoting our show. But really, at the end of the day, it's been the fans. And we do appreciate you guys and really, honestly, couldn't do it without you guys. LineupMedia.fm, thank you for your continued support and everything you do for us. Home of Yo Radio. Guys, there's big stuff happening behind the scenes with Cardinals baseball, Cardinals information, Cardinals podcasting. The guys, I'm telling you, go download the app Yo Radio right now. It's free. Give them a review. The guys that are working so hard would appreciate it. Special thanks to Adam Smokehouse on Watson Road. All you do for us again. It's a good place when you get a question about Adam Smokehouse at your Patio's event. Arlington Golf Course. Make sure you go see Mark Marcuso down in Granite City and play the course. Josh, you had a wonderful idea today that we should have went and did that afterwards, but I got to tell you, it was a struggle just getting up today, to be quite honest with you. So,
no, I don't blame
you. The struggle is real, man.
I'm driving over here, and I had the windows down for about halfway, and then halfway, once I got in the second half, I was like, all right, these windows need to go up.
The struggle is real, my friend.
Too humid.
Get down Arlington Green, say hi to Mark Marcuso and all the gang. Gators Baseball Academy, Josh, you're a member now of the coaching staff over there. They got a good one in you. They're doing wonderful things over there, no doubt. They're a four-pillar system. Building the athlete both as an athlete and as a person is very important to them. Gators Baseball Academy now for all the high school players that would love to live that dream of playing at the next level, whatever that may be for each individual. They will help you with that process. But when you're young and you're just getting into the game or if you're an excelled player at that age, they've got Missouri Gators, they've got Illinois Gators, guys. Give them an opportunity to find out if you're a right fit for them, and if they're the right fit for you as well. They certainly wouldn't want to snow anybody or have anything not work out for you. They care about the individual. They care about the family. That's Gators Baseball, MissouriGators.com. Okay, gents. So, anyway, I had told you what a prognosticator I'd become, right? One of the other things that and Crash and Kurt and Chris Lawless and the gang – They could all tell you, okay? They could all tell you this. Larry Cox, they could all tell you. We were standing around. The question came up from Crash about Waino. And where do you see going forward from him? Like, what's going to happen here? Okay? So the question becomes this. The question becomes this. Where does he fit in and how does he help? Well, we're going to find out because he's going to pitch. But I had told him, guys, it makes the most sense for him because everybody's like, is he going to pitch this week? I mean, I said, no, it's going to be Detroit, and here's why it's going to be Detroit. And it turns out I'm right, of course. And I hate being right. I know Josh. really, but it's as simple. No, if he goes out.
We'll give you that one. That's the first time you're right.
Yeah, so. I know. If no matter what he does, if he goes out, when he goes out there, no matter what he does, if he only gives you a two or three innings, you're not going to mess up your whole lineup by taking him out because of the DH. So it's a very – we got all these young guys that we can piggyback behind Waino. It was just a logical move to use him in the DH parks.
And I heard that too. I heard that they the way these guys are throwing, like Weaver's not throwing very well. He's not lasting four innings. So they might use that day. And we did this in Anaheim, I remember, and in the Giants too. We picked one day of the starting, right? And we threw three innings, like three starters. Obviously, not the main starters, but the guys who used to be starters, they're pitching in the bullpen right now. Mm-hmm. We give him three innings, like Waino, if he goes three or four, hopefully he goes five. Yeah. But if he goes three or four, we got guys out in the bullpen. Tyson Ross, he can pitch three innings in a heartbeat, and he's doing great. So you have that three innings right there in the back of your head, and then you put Weaver in the bullpen, he give you three innings or two innings. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And it could be that day only the one that you go like that. And then you got to have four guys at least throwing five, six, seven innings, man.
Well, it looks
it's hard, man.
Yeah, the Weaver is on – like if you look at it, Weaver was scheduled to pitch Saturday.
But I don't think Weaver's going to
make that start.
It's going to make a start anymore unless something happens. I think they're going to just the way he started the game, the way he was missing too many times in the middle. I mean, he doesn't seem like he has the confidence.
No
I don't think he in himself, he'll tell you. He probably pitching without confidence. So you can't have that right now, not in September. So he might be in the bullpen. Waino might take his place in the rotation. But you got Gomber going, you got Flaherty going, you got Mikolas, who's been a horse all year, and there's one more I'm missing. Either Gant. Ponce de Leon or Gant, you know. That's another thing you can do. You know, you got Ponce de Leon throwing that same day of those guys, and they can cover it. They can cover one day. You know what I'm saying? And then you still have your relief corps intact.
Yep,
you haven't even touched.
Well, with these expanded rosters, it
helps.
All these pitchers have had success one way or another. Like, there's obviously the few with Cecil and that we're still trying to figure out. But you know, we have those long relievers. We've seen when Mayers comes back, we've seen him go two or three. We've seen Ponce de Leon; he can start a game, which I'm fine with that. And then Gant, you know, can
I
go
like
two
Ponce
or
de Leon.
Yeah. I mean, we just have all these options that we've seen time and time again pitch two, three innings out of the pen and be completely fine with it.
Is Ponce de Leon going to help Waino find the fountain of youth?
Well,
that's really what you're looking for.
Yes, that is what I'm looking for. So take a look at it, and you guys tell me. So let's just go around the room here, folks. It's real simple. Josh, let's go this way.
And he's been drinking the salsa, so don't forget that.
Oh, yeah, we're not going to forget that.
Right. Is the salsa the fountain of youth?
It could be. Look at Waino, man.
You know,
he's doing good.
First and foremost, I hope I got the reference right out there. Because I don't know if anybody's catching it in here.
We got it.
Okay.
Easy, bud. All right. Easy, bud. No, but again.
You're throwing out Nostradamus' name about being a procrastinator. You know,
I got you.
You better stop drinking that monster scrap.
I was going to say, that stuff is supposed to energize you, not make you the smartest guy in the room there, Copernicus. Okay?
At least it's non-carbonated.
It is non-carbonated.
So again, and this was a topic of conversation amongst our crew. And again, another shout out, you know, Kurt Swanson, Larry Cox, Chris Lawless, you guys were absolutely amazing. We enjoyed it. It was tremendous. You know, Gene Bonds, my man on Facebook, Gene Bonds, I like that. So here's the deal. Start with you, Josh, is there any magic left in Waino? Is he the magic maybe that, you know, a la Andy Bennis all those years ago? I mean, is there any magic left in Waino's right arm?
Yeah, it's so hard to tell just because of his past couple years and seeing him go up there and toss 86. I mean, if he's hitting 90 and touching 92 and he's got that sink, and from what Brad Thompson said yesterday on the broadcast, old Uncle Charlie is back. So if that's back, then yeah, he's got some magic left. I mean, he's been hurt. How long has he been out? Since end of April, beginning of May, something around there. You know, so he's had his time off to rest. He's had this whole season to just rest up and prepare for the postseason. So now we just got to get there. We just got to get there. And I think he can better – above all else, though, he's perfect in the clubhouse. He's the guy that you want in there day in, day out.
Steve, has he got any magic left?
Well, I like the fact that I think he travels down to Memphis and pitches, and then he comes back and sits on the bench. So that's an A for effort in my book. But here's the deal. I'm going to defer to the guys that are with him every day that see him, that are at that major league level. I mean, as a fan, you're looking at it, and there's going to be, like you said, Jimbo, there's going to be half of the people that will say, never again, don't let him touch a baseball. And there's going to be the other half that say, oh, my God, this guy's your ace for so long. He's been there for so long. You got to give him the opportunity. And you want me to tell you what the right answer is?
What is the right answer?
The right answer is, you can make that decision after you see what happens.
Well, sure.
That's going to be the right answer.
Sure.
So until then, I don't know. He can go out and throw it and be a banger and be awesome. He can go out there and shit the bed, and everybody's going to, you know, the other half is going, oh, my God, I told you that. See, I'm not Nostradamus. I'm under the belief that somebody else knows better than me. I'm just a fan.
Right.
I would love to see him pitch. I'd love to see him pitch and have success. And I think that's what's probably 90% of the people out there would love to see him pitch and have success.
Right.
There's a lot of, probably 10%, to love to see him pitch and be terrible. So they can say, see, I told you.
Yeah. No. And
so
yeah,
I don't
I agree
know.
With you.
I hope he has something. I think he has something. But I'm going to defer to the guys that are out there every day and see his stuff.
Benji, what do you think? Is there magic in there?
I think he still has some magic. And obviously, it's like Steve-O said, you got to wait and see how he pitches, because he haven't pitched in so long. Obviously, he's done it in AAA or AA and all that. But you still have to wait and see on Waino. I want to believe that he still got some, you know, the way he's pitching, the way I heard he was throwing harder and all that. You know, he probably feels healthy, man. I mean, it's hard to pitch with a elbow sore. It's hard to do anything with an elbow sore. Imagine throwing a ball, you know. So, I want to say yes. I mean, I'd like to say yes. Waino has the heart. That's one thing. If it's anybody coming back like that and has a heart, it's Wainwright. So,
I think you said the key word. I want it. I want it for him. I want to believe. That's the thing about Waino. Okay?
And plus, what are we putting him for? Luke Weaver, which has been struggling for a little
right.
bit. Maybe give Weaver a little breather.
I agree. And so here's the thing. I think all you guys made great points, and I think they all, I think they all come together as one basic premise when it comes to a guy like Adam Wainwright. I think we all want him to do well, but it's kind of like that relative that just can't do it, but you want it for him so bad, but they just can't do it. Whatever it is in life, okay?
But for that, you got to wait until he pitches again.
Because you've seen their potential, right?
I would have gone a lot darker.
Well,
maybe that relative that's sitting in the bed on life support.
No.
Who's going to go in and pull the plug?
Who was the great guy? But here's the thing, though. But that's okay. If you're dark. You're a dark guy.
Hey,
you're a very dark
this
guy.
This monster
yeah,
is.
I tell you what.
Dude, can we get them as a sponsor?
You're a dark dude.
Woo.
So here's the deal. I'm going to say this, too. I had sent something out. Did everybody have a chance? I mean, Benji, I don't know that you did, but did everybody have a chance the other day during his birthday to see the interview he did up in the booth? Let me tell you something.
I didn't.
We are going to miss this guy when he's gone. I promise.
We won't. We won't. He'll be around.
Well, my point is who he is to this team is my point. This guy is, I mean, you talk about a consummate pro. You talk about a true, and I mean true, teammate,
and leader.
leader, the things he does, the little thing, he's as real as it gets. And I think we take that for granted.
I don't know if you guys met him before, but he's one of the nicest person, most positive person, most, like you said, a leader on the club, on any club, on any life. I mean, look at this guy, the way he lives his life, man. He goes out of his way to help out people. I mean, it's not a secret to me. I've been knowing Wainwright for a long time. A great, awesome guy. And let me tell you, his heart, when he pitches, he leaves everything out there. And it's not easy to pitch with the elbow soreness or a shoulder. Like, we've seen that with Carlos, how bad that go. So, and now he seems to be healthy, man. And that's, let's give him a chance. And as a fan out there, give him a chance. Let him do it, you know. Let me see what he can do, and then he'll tell you, you know, if he messed up, if he doesn't do well, then he's telling you.
Yeah, I tell you, there's more. Again, at the end of the day, you got to go out and perform on the field, right? Don't you?
You do.
Yep.
But the truth of the matter is, there's more to it than that. There really is. It's the stuff that, I'm sorry, and again, I'm going to start another argument. It's the stuff that you can't put in a spreadsheet that he does for your team. Anybody that thinks he hasn't been a part of this resurgence the last couple months is crazy.
Yep. Then you, well, like I said, I think he goes, if I'm not mistaken, I think he goes down and pitches in Memphis, and he's back on the bench
yep.
the next day. He's not living at the Peabody waiting for his next start or whatever it is, watching the Ducks walk, getting a little rendezvous barbecue, which isn't quite as good as Adam's Smokehouse.
Not even close.
Not even close, really.
It's not even close. You know, and again, so my thought is this. The question is, I've been right way too much lately, so I'm not going to try to be right on this one and predict what he's going to do. But here's what I do know. He's going to go out and give you everything he has. Now, so there's going to be a lot of fans that are going to say, Jim, I can appreciate what you're saying. I can appreciate Adam Wainwright. You're right. In 2000, man, in 2006, dude, I was like, wow, this guy come and close this game. You know, in 2011, he was hurt, right? 2011, yeah. Hurt, right? You know, people are going to say, I know what he's done for us, but man, he just can't do it. And how many people in this world have been told they can't do it? Aren't those the greatest stories?
Yep.
I mean, I say this all the time. Steve-O and we've been to some amazing things, and people always ask me, what's the most amazing thing you've ever seen? And I tell them flat out, yes, Game 6 is still the most amazing thing I've ever seen in person. But I think everybody seems to forget that same guy had a fly ball hit him in the head in that game. Did he not? He had a fly ball hit him in the head.
Yeah, he did.
Pop okay. up. All right. This is a game. There are no guarantee. There are nothing. But you got to put your money on guys that just know how to get it done, that can get it done. And you never know where the unlikely guy is going to come from. I guarantee you, social media has grown so much. Radio, everybody's opinion, everybody can do this and that. Many, many years ago, when the Cardinals brought, when Tony La Russa and Dave Duncan brought Andy Bennis back at the end of the year, everybody had to be losing their mind. Today, it would be gargantuan quadrupled. Okay?
All
the guy did was go out and find a way.
Yep. Yep.
There's the difference.
That's what I was going to say. All Wayno have done is find a way to win for us. Look at his numbers. The last couple of years, he's hurt. So he's not going to have the numbers. He's hurt all years. But look at his numbers. 2-something ERA, 1-something, 2-something ERA. All he's done is give his heart to the city of St. Louis, man. Why can't we appreciate it? Not we, I'm saying in overall, you know, like right. In general. Why can't we appreciate this guy? Give him a chance now that he seems to be healthy. Give him a chance. And then if he doesn't do it, then we, you know.
Well, let's turn the tables just a little bit, Bimo, and I want this is in your field of expertise. A guy like that gets a start. How do the players react from a defense and an offense standpoint? I mean, do they bear down just that much more? Do they focus and try to do – what's their mentality when you got an icon who might be on the last couple of innings in his career? What are they? What's their mentality?
I don't think they see it that way. I don't think they see like Waino is retiring or something like that. You know, because I talking to Waino the last time I was here, he was at Yadi's house. Talking to him, he ain't retiring, man. I mean, he wants to pitch. He wants to pitch, and the problem here is health, right? If he's healthy, he could do it. But I don't think the guys see it that way. I think the guys are more concentrating in making the place for him, like you said, you know, putting pressure on themselves to hit, to get the RBI and win, make Waino a winner. But that's it, you know. I don't think they're looking at Waino and saying, man, he's retiring, we got to do this. You know, not that way. They don't do that. But, I mean, do they play hard? Yeah, they play hard for him because they know this is their man.
You know, and again, just because I have, you know, and people say, oh, it's nice, Jim, all these warm and fuzzies, but we're trying to win we're trying to get in the playoffs, trying to do something. I understand
that.
Wait,
Jimbo. We're trying to win, and we're trying to do this, and we're trying to win, and we're still throwing Luke Weaver out there.
Yeah.
And he haven't done, I'm not picking on him. I'm saying
I know
that he haven't done what we're expecting to. And then we're still throwing guys out there that don't go four. I mean, what is the difference from Waino not going four? If you want to see it that way, right? If you're going to say, oh, we want to try to win the World Series and da-da-da. What is the difference from those three?
Oh, I agree.
So, I mean, give him a chance. He seems to be healthy right now. Give him a chance. Maybe he can help us, man. You never know.
No, I agree. And listen, it's no different than when it's no different than when the manager plays a guy and everybody complains about him and he goes out and gets two hits and two RBIs and nobody tweets. Well, I guess the guy is smarter than me. Because here's the deal. Remember this, guys. The odds are he won't. Just look at the greatest players in the game. The odds are they're going to fail. Okay? So just because you don't like the lineup doesn't mean that your lineup is any better. And that's all I've ever said for years. It's always easy to assume that your guy, quote-unquote, whoever he is. So in this instance, for everybody, you know, nobody wants Greg Garcia to see the field. Everybody's already tired of Matt Adams, okay? And that's fine.
Matt Adams is playing right now because Wong and Jericho are out of the lineup. Matt Adams was brought here to be a bench player, coming off the bench and things like that, and it's not easy to do. So let's give him a chance because he's been playing more, but he was struggling with the Nationals way before he came here. So let's give him a shot, man. Either way, Matt Adams coming up the bench or Greg Garcia coming up the bench, which I love Greg Garcia. I know he haven't been, you know, all great all year, but he's been playing okay. He's been doing the little things. He's a gamer. He's a baller. He knows what he's doing out there. They need some power off the bench.
Well, and again, I guess the only thing I'm saying here is this is I cannot like it. But that's the thing. That's what's beautiful about this, right, is that when the lineup comes out, every one of us start going, well, I wouldn't have done that or I wouldn't have done it. It really doesn't matter what we think. I mean, they do it for whatever reason it is. You know, it was Club Matheny, Club La Russa. Now it's Club Schilt. Guys are having fun with it. And I think and that's what you should do is have fun. You know, well, we see who's in Club Schilt, you know, Matt Adams and Greg Garcia. I mean, what does Greg, you know. So my point is, whatever the reason is, okay, these guys are playing, okay? I don't have a great answer for it. Would I play them? No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't take, like, there's in no world when we're down guys like this would Jaro Munoz not play. In no world that I live in would Tyler O'Neill not play. Because
depending who you have, Jimbo. You can't say that, though.
Well, I understand that. But
because what you're saying to me.
But that's my fandom. See, that's me being a fan. Yeah, that's my point.
But what you're saying to me is that you're going to put O'Neill over whoever. Right? That's what it sounds like. And you have to see who you have before you do that.
No.
You know?
Well, and see, but here's the thing. Here's my thought process on it. My thought process on it. My thought process on it isn't that I'm right. My thought process on it is this. In any situation, what I like is I would rather play O'Neill, Bader, and Ozuna and put Jose Martinez back at first and put Carp at third, DeJong at short.
I wonder why they haven't done it.
At second. And that's what I would do. Now, that being said, that's because of necessity. That's not because that's what I'd like to do. I've advocated the whole time to just put Jose Martinez in right field and let him play, right?
put Carpenter at first. But guess what? You're missing guys.
Did you see what he did yesterday with Billy Hamilton? He almost threw him out at second. I mean, that play is not easy. Right. And he threw a cannon. Then he threw a cannon to home plate from the outfield. He might not cover the ground because he doesn't seem like he's running. He's running, man. He's a 6'6 guy. He's gaining ground when he goes after those fly balls. It just seems like he's not going. But he is. He is going. He's like a guy Anderson in our club. You didn't think he was hustling or after fly balls. No, he's going, man. It's just give him a chance. He's might not be a gold glove outfielder. I get it. But he's good out there, man. He's okay. He catches the fly balls, you know, and everything. I mean, he's better than a few guys that I know in the league, I'll tell you that.
You know, and again, we're going to see. I don't have any idea for sure what's going to happen from day to day, nor does anybody else.
Yeah, many fans have short memory.
But you have – but everybody's going to want to play who they like. And I've said it once, and I'll say it again. Okay? Your guy, right? Your guy. So in this instance, I'm the example. So when he plays Greg Garcia and he doesn't play Jaro Munoz, naturally when Greg Garcia goes 0-for – okay, naturally.
Munoz would have had three
hits. Munoz would have had three hits. See, that's the thing. That's the thing about that. That's how we look at this, and that's what makes the whole thing. To me, it's what makes it fun. Like, but I'm not criticizing. It's fun because then we can have a conversation about it.
Well, Munoz didn't play because he was having trouble the few days before.
Right. That's right.
I mean, he's and if you see the numbers on Garcia against that pitcher that started – whatever his name, Descofani. If you see his number, he was hitting .480 against that kid that started. So, Chills, I understand. And guess what? He got a couple hits.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's not a bad idea.
Well, and don't forget this, too. If they look at numbers and they say, you know what? To your point, he's had good numbers against him. And then he goes, and again, this is an example of, and then he goes out and doesn't get any hits, and people say, see? It goes right back to just because something didn't work didn't mean it wasn't
well,
right.
Well, we as fans have the second guess. The manager, they don't have a time to second guess. They got a player or not.
Yeah. But Jim, you got to understand, if somebody is, you know, 4-for-10 against somebody, then all of a sudden, you know, you can't play them because they have to have over three. That's their average.
Yeah. All right. Hey, real quick, Gino had a question about this is our last question. We're out of here. I told Gino I'd ask you guys this question. What do you think about this Rick Ankiel comeback thing? Totally off topic, but it was a great question that we didn't get to at Patio's
Friday.
Still
a thing?
Well, it should be a thing. Why not?
No, I'm just kidding.
He's got to be in a Cardinal uniform, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Steve-o,
without a doubt.
Cardinal uniform. He's got to wear a Cardinal uniform and try this comeback.
Let's do it, babe.
I don't see anything wrong.
I've been trying to get him to play man ball with me. How about that? Make a comeback in that.
I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, he's an athlete.
No, there's
man.
Something wrong with Ankiel throwing curveballs to Steve because Steve would hurt himself. There's something wrong with that.
Even a fastball, I think.
Yeah.
You're not sneaking a fastball.
So we're all in agreement that he should try this for sure. I mean, I don't think that's his. But it's got to be in a Cardinal uniform, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean,
there's no way Mo doesn't do this.
I just don't see why not.
There's no reason Mo doesn't do this, right?
Hey, wait, but he's not in the big leagues, right? I mean, he's trying.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry, if we can take a chance on Jordan Schaefer and try to get him to come back as a pitcher instead of an outfielder, we could take a chance on Rick Ankiel.
Well, I would agree. And again, from business standpoint, I mean, if some club comes along and says, I'm going to give you a bunch of guaranteed money to do this, well, I mean, Rick Ankiel's a businessman, but the truth of the matter is most people it's going to be if you can do this, here's that, it's got to be in a car.
We
got to
get him on the show.
He's a good one, man.
You
know him very well, Benji?
Yes.
Is he a – he seems like an interesting
– I know
cat.
Brad Thompson. I know him. I mean, they're all nice guys. I saw Jason Mott yesterday. He's a super guy.
He does so much for people. Holy cow.
Unbelievable the way that he takes care of that. I'm going to try to reach out to them and see if we can get him next time on the show. And that'll be cool.
Well, I can tell you that we appreciate – all those guys and everything they do. Appreciate you guys coming in on Labor Day. Benji, I'm glad we were able to do it since you were home. Want to thank everybody for joining us on this Labor Day. Again, by the time this show comes out, chances are today's game will be over. Be real curious to see how it goes with Mr. Scherzer on the mound. You know, just when you think, you know, you're facing an ace and got nowhere to go, you know, sometimes you find a way to win. And that's what they need to do is just find a way to win today, as my man Benji always says.
Again, thank you for joining the show. TwoBirdsAndABat.com. Subscribe. Do your shopping at Amazon. Find us on Twitter at BirdsAndABatShow. Find us on Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. Like our Facebook page. Invite your friends. Join the Facebook group, Birds on a Bat. That's another one of ours. You can also find us through lineupmedia.fm, now home to Yo Radio, future home to numerous Cardinal podcasts. There's your tease. Looking forward to having some great people join our show for the show. We had Kyle Reese join us at Patty O's. Looking forward to Prospects After Dark joining Two Birds on a Bat. Mo's Algorithm will be back again. I'm looking for some final confirmations from a couple other people about this great third show we're going to start. And again, I like it. I like where we're going, and the show just continues to grow thanks to you. It's the Facebook groups. It's all the fans out there. Again, as you heard me mention, Chris Lawless, Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7. He and Ron both do an unbelievable podcast, but they also have an unbelievable Facebook groups. And again, just I love the support. I love the way this community works, and we saw it firsthand at Patty O's on Friday. Don't forget RallySquirrel.com, the great Facebook page. Look for new things there when it comes to the Rally Squirrel Report. Fans of Yadier Molina, Arch City Media with Mick Light, always promoting us as well. St. Louis Cardinals crew, St. Louis Cardinals Nation, STL Cardinals, some of the great ones out there. St. Louis Cardinals Fans Unite. Great Facebook groups. Cardinal Freak, always been with us. And again, these are just some of the numerous and many that are tremendous in what they do. For everybody here at lineupmedia.fm, we want to thank all of our sponsors. Arch City Media is one, of course. Adam Smokehouse, everybody's licking their chops right now because it's Labor Day, no doubt about it. You got to get the ribs. They're open till 3 today on Labor Day, of course. You know, a lot of catering, guys. If you're doing that stuff, Adam Smokehouse is where you want to be. That's on Watson Road. Get down there. That pulled rib sandwich was unbelievable, by the way, guys. That picture he sends out, unbelievable. Arlington Greens, if you're going to get down and play some golf today. Mark Marcuso and his staff do a tremendous job. If you want to run a tournament, if you just want to get some holes in, that's Arlington Greens. Gators Baseball Academy, thank you for your continued support. But more importantly, thank you for what you do for the kids in the area. Again, building young men as well as athletes is just as important. Check them out, okay? MissouriGators.com. They've got the Illinois Gators now and, of course, home to the Gators Baseball Academy. Tremendous people in that organization, and they got a good one here in Josh Potter. Patty O's, thank you for your continued support, as always. And, of course, our good friend and yours, Randy Green, InnovatedCompanies.com, 35 years experience, man of his word, second-generation craftsman. For all of us here at Two Birds and a Bat, let's go Birds!
Go Birds!
Go Birds!
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.